And now, the conclusion of Toothless. Scene 4. The Park. Part 7.
This way!
Curly called out as the Magi sprinted to catch up.
Keep running!
Albrecht led his friends as the path turned and twisted deeper into the darkness.
I'm running!
Bizarria panted from the rear.
I think we've seen this corner before.
Curly glanced back as they made the next turn. Immediately after the bend, the group nearly piled on top of each other when Albrecht unexpectedly stopped.
We have not seen this corner before, muttered Franklin.
Yeah, I don't remember this puddle.
Albrecht held his toothbrush high overhead. They had rounded the corner of the grass-lined pathway and found lake water covering the entire length of the passage. The end of the path and the end of the water extended beyond the light of the toothbrush.
I don't remember this puddle either, echoed Bez. It's a long one.
The friends stood at the puddle's edge, staring into its reflective darkness. A soul-chilling roar could be heard in the distance. It was the dentist, but it sounded much farther away than it should.
I'm going to spend my last UP and increase my outrun skill.
Franklin closed his eyes.
Franklin, outrun skill upgraded to D4.
Nodding, Franklin opened his eyes. Now I have 2 D4s. I'm running, so I'll go first.
If we're crossing this infernal water,
Curly stated firmly, with straightened back and puffed chest,
then I'm holding somebody's hand.
Same for me.
Bizarria raised her hand in agreement. Albrecht nodded, then took a step back so Franklin could have space to run. The others also made room for Franklin. The doctor knelt into his sprinter stance. He bowed his head and closed his eyes, clearing his mind to an empty void. Somewhere in the distance of his mind palace, a shot rang out from a starting pistol. His legs pulsed and propelled him forward. Dirt and grass flung up from beneath his feet. He was upright, elbows bent and arms pumping in time with his feet. He felt the water splash beneath his step. It felt like running atop the water. He was out of the green light now and running in darkness. His lungs burned, his legs ached. Still, he pushed, legs rapidly extending and retracting. He propelled himself further, faster. The water continued. He pushed on. The darkness, the water, it did not end. Would there be an end? He yelled back, fighting against his body's plea to end it all now.
Franklin, outrun, versus water, pull. 8 versus 4. Franklin succeeds.
Grass!
Franklin tumbled and rolled across the fresh green grass, stopping just before the hedge wall. He lay supine, taking in large gulps of air while laughing uncontrollably between the gulps.
Made it!
Franklin yelled across the pool. He heard distant cheers and congratulations in response. Albrecht smiled with warm gratitude for his friend's success.
I'm really considering taking my chances with the dentist.
Curly murmured as he stared at the slithering reflections of the toothbrush green light dancing on the water's rippling surface. Looking back down the path, he only saw darkness. Bizarria chuckled quietly. The mortician turned his smile to the cowboy and offered his hand. Curly grasped Albrecht's hand tightly, then offered his free hand to the Magi, who accepted it graciously. Albrecht then turned, raised the Eisenberger family toothbrush high, and led his friends into the water. The water was like black shining glass that rippled with every step. Cautiously, the three friends tread across the opaque pool. The mortician surmised that they were halfway across when the green light of the toothbrush revealed Franklin at the water's edge, quietly cheering them on. Albrecht stumbled.
Albrecht, intelligent dodge, versus water, pull. 2 versus 4. Albrecht fails.
Curly!
The mortician yelled out as he quickly sank into the underwater depths.
Hold on, little buddy!
Curly desperately held onto Albrecht's hand, struggling against the water's pull. He growled in anger.
I knew I should have gone back to face the dentist.
Bizarria, dexterity, versus water, pull. 2 versus 3. Bizarria fails.
Oh no!
Bizarria cried out as she was yanked into the dark waters. The sudden pull from his other arm brought Curly down to one knee. He yelled in strained defiance against the water, refusing to let it take the souls he held in each hand. The pull came from underneath.
Curly, dexterity, versus water, pull. 2 versus 4. Curly fails.
Curly cursed loudly, and then he was gone. It all happened so fast. Franklin stopped cheering and stared into the darkness. He could hear ripples in the pool of water, but no splashes, no struggle. All his friends were gone. Only the humming of the bugs could be heard. Franklin's knees buckled under the weight of the darkness, and he fell to the ground, alone. The dark abyss was a consuming miasma of swirling water. It pulled him deeper, refusing to let go. The light of Albrecht's toothbrush flickered and began to fade as the abyss forced itself upon the light. He was lost, sinking deeper into the bottomless underwater. Albrecht closed his eyes tight, searching his mind for anything to help overcome the dark water's pull. He pulled up the options menu. The logout button was still defunct. However, glancing to the other corner, he saw something glow. Albrecht opened his eyes, but only saw the flickering green light of his toothbrush. He closed his eyes again, opening the options menu, and saw a soft golden glow. It was coming from his hero sheet. Opening the hero sheet, Albrecht realized the glow was from a unique aspect of the adventure. It was the hero's die, abbreviated as HD on the hero sheet. Albrecht attempted to access this unique feature. A notification opened. Once the hero's die is successfully rolled, the hero may gain narrative control for that action. However, caution should be taken.
Albrecht, intelligent dodge, plus the hero's die, versus water, drain. 21 versus 3. Albrecht is granted narrative control.
As I held tightly to Curly's hand, I made sure to keep the toothbrush held high. Through sheer mental force, I exerted all my will into the toothbrush and channeled its powers to combat the darkness around me. The light of the toothbrush bursts forth, expelling the surrounding darkness, and I shoulder my way to the surface. I press on, bursting through the water's surface, pulling Curly, who is still clinging to my hand. Once he emerges, together we pull Bizarria from the darkness. In the new light of the toothbrush, we all travel beyond the water's edge to safety.
Franklin knelt in the grass, despondent and empty, unwilling to continue, but not ready for the end. Suddenly, a bright light burst open the water's surface, casting the dark waters in a wide, spectacular splash that spiraled from its center. Franklin quickly recognized the green hue of the toothbrush, but its light had changed. It had become brighter and more piercing than before. Franklin stood in awe as he watched Albrecht's arm emerge from the underwater, then slam the toothbrush onto the pool surface. The mortician continued to shoulder his way up from the darkness, pulling hard against the undertow. The old man yelled against the struggle as Curly emerged from the dark abyss. Once on top, the two friends continued to pull and strain until Bizarria was lifted out from the underwater. Together, the three friends crossed the remaining distance up the pond and collapsed on the grass around Franklin.
"We live!"
Bizarria laughed and whistled airily with relief.
"Yeah!"
Curly breathlessly punched the air to their success as he lay on the ground.
"That was close."
The Magi craned her neck to see her friends.
"That was amazing."
Franklin held the exhausted mortician.
"It was the hero's die."
Albrecht smiled tiredly.
"I almost forgot I had it."
They sat and lay in the grass, grateful for the moment of solitude and safety, grateful for the friendship they had come to share.
It wasn't until the bright light of the toothbrush flickered, bringing back the harsh reality of humming bugs surrounding them and the knowledge that they were not safe in this place.
"So, do we keep going?" asked Franklin.
"Yeah." Albrecht stood wearily and slowly walked down the final bend of their path, keeping his toothbrush held high. Everyone rose and followed close behind the mortician.
"There's something ahead, guys,"
Albrecht cautioned the group. As they ventured forward, they found themselves standing in a small clearing with a statue in the middle. The stone figure resembled the other statues they had encountered before. It had a featureless face, a simple nose and ears, no hair to speak of, and indentations for the eyes. It was difficult to tell if the statue was intentionally unfinished. Despite its nondescriptness, what caught Albrecht's focus was the statue's mouth. It had a sad presence to its lips, even though there was no indication of a frown. The mortician also noted the lips were slightly parted, and the mouth did not hold any teeth. The statue cradled a large rectangular piece of glass close to its chest in one arm. Most of the glass was covered by the stone-carved arm, but the parts that were not covered shined brightly in the toothbrush's light. The bright bits of glass reminded Albrecht of the dentist's eyes that shined with a similar fire. The statue's other hand was extended, palm up and open, as if waiting to receive something.
"Albrecht," Bizaria motioned gently to the statue's open hand, "give it your toothbrush."
Albrecht recoiled from Bez and the statue, holding his family heirloom close, shaking his head sternly at Bizaria.
"Give it your toothbrush."
But,
Albrecht stuttered. The mortician looked to his other friends, pleading for another option. Franklin nodded. Curly shrugged.
"I think this is the end, little amigo."
The cowboy was massaging half his mustache, his other hand resting on the butt of his pistol.
"No,"
Albrecht pleaded, fighting to stop his heart from breaking.
"This can't be."
"Hey." Franklin approached his friend with open arms.
"But I'm not ready."
A tear leaked from Albrecht's eye.
"I can't."
The doctor embraced his friend and held him tight. "Please," Franklin whispered. Albrecht buried his face in his friend's shoulder, clinging to the moment with all the force of will he had left. Releasing their embrace, Franklin held his friend at arm's length, smiled, and took a few steps back. The friends stood in a semicircle around the front of the statue, while Albrecht stood in the middle. He turned to face the stone man. Slowly, warily, Albrecht placed the toothbrush in the statue's open hand. Stone ground against stone as the statue's hand closed over the toothbrush. It drew the toothbrush in, and as it did, the statue seemed to emit a soft green light. The statue then lowered its other arm, allowing the rectangular glass to be seen unobscured. Albrecht recalled the dark reflections of himself from the water in the cave and the window while riding the bus. This was different. Here, the glass shined a bright white light that was almost blinding. Behind the blinding light, Albrecht noticed the statue's mouth no longer looked sad, but was now content, and there appeared to be a hint of teeth. Albrecht turned to his friends to point out the statue's change, but his countenance dropped as a new horror took hold. The light was steadily fading away from his friends, and each one was slowly being enveloped by the surrounding darkness.
"Hold on!"
Albrecht cried out.
"Why isn't this working?"
"It's okay," Franklin assured his friend.
"The narrator. The bus driver said the narrator broke the system, right? I'll contact the narrator."
Albrecht turned back to the brightly shining glass and grasped its edges, but it would not budge from the stone's hold. He leaned in close to the glass and called out with an authoritative voice,
"Narrator, we demand that you show yourself. We call on you to release us from this adventure and let my friends return home."
As Albrecht stared hard into the bright white of the shining glass, he could almost make out the silhouette of a small man hunched over and kneeling. The old man was not looking up.
"Dang nabbit!"
Albrecht looked back to see Curly punch, kick, and curse at the encroaching darkness, but it was a futile effort. The security guard growled in frustration against the thick, encroaching night.
I didn't clock out!
The cowboy and his voice disappeared in the covering blanket of night. Albrecht turned to Bizarria the Magi, who stood firmly as the darkness crept around her. She fixed her gaze on Albrecht and gave her final declaration.
My debt is paid.
The darkness swept over the Magi, leaving no trace behind. With the cowboy and the Magi gone, Albrecht could not face his final friend for fear of what was surely coming.
Hey, Franklin said softly. I think I understand it now.
Albrecht turned to see Franklin, his friend, nearly covered by the darkness. Their eyes locked, and in that moment, Franklin's eyes were at peace. It was worth it. The darkness washed over him.
No!
Albrecht's voice was small and broken. The endless darkness steadily crept closer. A muted silence ushered in. Not even the bugs could be heard. Only one source of light remained in this world. The glass. Albrecht turned on the statue and clawed at the stone hand that took his toothbrush.
Give it back! He desperately cried. Bring them back!
Rough, unmoving stone met his cries and ragged fingertips.
Please!
Tears began to well in his eyes as he grasped the shining glass held by the statue. Albrecht peered into the glass, focusing his vision, looking deeper for an escape. As he searched, he saw again the hunched old man kneeling on a clean floor. The man was in the center of a bright, sterile white room, but he did not move. His head was down, as if in contemplation. Albrecht could feel the darkness creeping onto his heels, slowly enveloping the last remains of his world. His breathing was accelerated. His heart thumped heavily, and in anguish, he grasped tightly to the glass. Tears dripped and fell down the skin of his old face.
Help me!
As the old man raised his head, gray hair could be seen bursting from the sides, while a few wispy strands of hair lined his otherwise bald top. He peered ahead through thick, bushy eyebrows. For the first time, Albrecht saw himself, and he smiled, a toothless smile. Epilogue. A pale fluorescent light chittered as it flickered, then returned to its constant quiet electric hum. A patient could be heard from inside a room, moaning and wailing sadly as two individuals in white coats walked past the door's small window. Long black hair covered the moaning patient's face as she extended her arm and pointed a long bony finger when they passed. One of the individuals was pushing a cart down the well-lit green-carpeted hallway. Its wheels made an occasional loud squeal as it rolled along. Atop the cart was all manner of shiny and sharp metallic things that could be used for medical purposes. The other individual was very tall and slim. He held a clipboard in one hand and a pen in the other.
How's the system therapy going with your patient?
Asked the tall individual as they walked down the hall. The shorter one pushed the cart in silence before responding to the taller individual's question.
My patient has a name.
Yes, I know he does, but that doesn't really answer my question.
The other one smiled softly.
No, I suppose it doesn't.
The cart's wheels let out a shrill squeal as they walked in silence for a few paces.
The mind is an incredible instrument. It has a complex fragility, yet displays an outstanding ability to endure.
She paused, then tried to explain again.
When the mind is injured, think of it like a fracture. Not a fracture of bone, rather a fracture of glass. Simple fractures in glass can be easily repaired if you have the right tools. However, even when repaired, the fracture in the glass remains.
The tall man hummed acknowledgement as he jotted a note on his clipboard.
The mind is similar to the glass, the shorter one continued. The mind has the tools to repair small fractures, and it can continue to be functional despite those small fractures. However, if the glass becomes too fractured or worse, shattered, then the mind fails in its functions and can no longer repair itself. The tall man finished his note and adjusted his round spectacles as they turned down a different hallway. His spectacles shined brightly with the reflection of the hallway lights. The mind isn't just one sheet of glass. Think of it as several panes of glass that come in many different shapes and colors. These different panes of glass are used in various combinations, much like a combination of lenses. These lenses help us develop our perspective on the world. However, when some lenses shatter from trauma, as an example, our perspective becomes limited, as we can no longer view the world with the lenses we once had. The tall man peered over his spectacles and hummed another acknowledgement to the shorter one. This system therapy is purely experimental. The cart squealed loudly, and the shorter individual took a moment to adjust the cart before continuing. As such, it is difficult to see how successful the therapy is at this stage. We do not know what the patient is thinking or exactly how the system interacts with the mind, at least not specifically. However, the theory is that through the system we attempt to replace and repair the lenses of glass that have been shattered or fractured by trauma. With continued system therapy and support, we hope to see improvement, which will sustain the success of our methods. The tall man hummed thoughtfully.
Your last report seemed confident in the progress of this patient.
They slowed their pace as they approached one of the many doors in the hallway. The door was as white as the walls and blended well with its surroundings.
Yes, he has responded very well to the positive reinforcement and the therapy. Regardless of the trauma this patient once endured, I am confident what we are doing will help.
Then you keep doing what you're doing. I will keep working with the board to provide you funding. Just remember, we will eventually need more tangible results.
Thank you.
The short one smiled as she reached for an instrument under the cart.
You sure you don't want to see the evaluation? I brought a special treat that always makes these things easier.
Oh, no. I've got other matters to attend to. Besides, I do not think your patient likes me all that much.
It's your presence and those glasses. You're too brusque and demanding. Also, your glasses reflect in a way that makes it difficult to see your eyes.
All the same, I need to be off. Good luck with your evaluation.
The shorter one pulled out an old toothbrush from under her cart.
I still don't understand why a toothbrush makes him so happy when he doesn't have any teeth.
That's why you work with the board, and I work with the patients.
The taller man shrugged.
Have fun,
he said with a casual wave as he turned and walked away. The one remaining slowly worked the lock in the heavy metal door. The gears whined and moaned until the door unlocked. Gradually, the large door opened.
Hello. It's that special time. I want you to know you've been doing a great job, Albrecht.
The end. Thank you all for listening to the podcast version of Toothless by Theo Thomas. If you'd like to hear more of the Heroes Die adventures, please check out www.radiatedskull.com. Okay, next week, we dive back into the realm of fantasy with the first book by author Rose Malick, Bloodborne, Tales from the Land of Kaldor. A book that feels very much like a tabletop role-playing fantasy adventure game. Until next week, safe travels, everyone.